Ding ding.
What do we say? That the river goes from south to north, and that we're seeing a transformation of the lawn and the Persian into a single figure. I felt he was a little negative on Pauly about this mother stuff. You might be right. Remember that the mother appears, and the dreamer, the interpreter, the author says that shows that Pauly was a boy. But let me read you another take on it. This is from Jung's, speaking of Wilhelm. This is from Jung's memorial address to Wilhelm. It's up on my website. I'm just trying to remember where I have it. I don't think I'll read the whole thing for the sake of time, but I think it's Jung's most beautiful prose. I think if you go to, I think I put it up for the number and time class. If you can't find it, I'll make a note and tell you where it is. I think if you go to the website and then you go to study guides and you scroll down to number and time, that there's a link there that says Richard Wilhelm Memorial Address or something like that. But Jung is talking about Wilhelm's mind, and this is what he says. As a rule, the specialist's is a purely masculine mind, an intellect to which fecundity is an alien and unnatural process. Therefore, it is an especially ill-adapted tool for giving birth to a foreign spirit. But a larger mind bears the stamp of the feminine. It is endowed with a receptive and fruitful womb which can reshape what is strange and give it a familiar form. Wilhelm possessed the rare gift of a maternal intellect. Isn't that beautiful? You want to hear the whole thing?
Yeah.
It's 5 paragraphs, it's not that long, but it's beautiful. I've condensed it way down. It is no easy task for me to speak of Richard Wilhelm and his work, because starting very far away from one another, our paths crossed in comet-like fashion. His life work has a range that lies outside my compass. I've never seen the China that first molded his thought and later continued to engross him, nor am I familiar with its language, the living expression of the Chinese East. I stand indeed as a stranger outside that vast realm of knowledge and experience in which Wilhelm worked as a master of his profession. He, as a sinologist and I as a doctor, would probably never have come into contact had we remained specialists. But we met in a field of humanity which begins beyond the academic boundary posts. There lay our point of contact. There the spark leapt across and kindled a light that was to become, for me, one of the most significant events of my life. Because of this, I may perhaps speak of Wilhelm and his work. Thinking with grateful respect of this mind which created a bridge between East and West and gave to the Occident the precious heritage of a culture thousands of years old, a culture perhaps destined to disappear forever. Was that not accurate? Well, Wilhelm possessed a kind of mastery which is won only by a man who goes beyond his specialty, and so his striving for knowledge became a concern touching all mankind. Or rather, it had been from the beginning and remained so always. What else could have liberated him so completely from the narrow horizon of the European and indeed of the missionary, that no sooner had he delved into the secrets of the Chinese mind than he perceived the treasure hidden there for us and sacrificed his European prejudices for the sake of this rare pearl? Only an all-embracing humanity, a greatness of heart that glimpses the whole, could have enabled him to open himself without reserve to a profoundly alien spirit and to further its influence by putting his manifold gifts and capacities at its service. The undertaking with which he devoted himself to this task with no trace of Christian resentment or European arrogance bears witness to a truly great mind. For all mediocre minds in contact with a foreign culture either perish in the blind attempt to deratiate themselves, or else they perish in an incomprehending and presumptuous passion for criticism. toying only with the surface and externals of the foreign culture, and they never eat its bread or drink its wine, and so never enter into a real communion of minds, that most intimate transfusion and interpenetration which generates new birth. As a rule, the specialist is a purely masculine mind, an intellect to which fecundity is an alien and unnatural process. It is therefore an especially ill-adapted tool for giving birth to a foreign spirit. But a larger mind bears the stamp of the feminine. It is endowed with a receptive and fruitful womb which can reshape what is strange and give it a familiar form. Wilhelm possessed the rare gift of a maternal intellect. To it he owed his unequaled ability to feel his way into the spirit of the East and to make his incomparable translations. Faced with the alien culture of the East, Wilhelm showed a degree of modesty highly unusual in a European. He approached it freely, without prejudice, without the assumption of knowing better. He opened his heart and mind to it. He let himself be gripped and shaped by it, so that when he came back to Europe, he brought us not only in his spirit, but his whole being, a true image of the East. This deep transformation was certainly not one without great sacrifice, for our historical premises are so entirely different. The keenness of Western consciousness and its harsh problems had to soften before the more universal, more equitable nature of the East. Western rationalism and one-sided differentiation had to lead to Eastern breadth and simplicity. For Wilhelm, this change meant not only a shifting of the intellectual standpoint, but a radical rearrangement of the components of his personality. The picture of the East he has given us, free of ulterior motive and all trace of tendentiousness, could never have been painted in such perfection had he not been able to let the European in him slip into the background. If he had allowed the East and West to clash together with unyielding harshness, he could not have fulfilled his mission of conveying to us a true picture of China. The sacrifice of the European was unavoidable and necessary for the fulfillment of the task fate laid upon him. As you see, I have not withheld my personal views. For if I have not told you what Wilhelm meant to me, how would it have been possible for me to speak of him? Wilhelm's life work is of such immense importance to me, because it clarified and contained so much that I have been seeking, striving for, thinking, and doing in my efforts to alleviate the psychic sufferings of Europeans. It was a tremendous experience for me to hear through him, in clear language, things I had dimly divined in the confusion of our European consciousness. Indeed, I feel myself so very much enriched by him that it seems to me as if I had received more from him than from any other man. This is also the reason why I do not feel the presumption, if I am the one to offer on the altar of his memory, the gratitude and respect of all of us. Amen. Gives me goosebumps.
So in the King chart, what did that do? What did he do for the young?
He
one sentence or less.
he brought Jung the Secret of the Golden Flower, 1928, which showed in an 8th century Taoist text the same paradigm of transformation Jung had seen in his patients and in himself. And the fact that they were from an East, Jung was working with Westerners, and he could demonstrate in an Eastern text the same paradigm, that's what gave him the calmness to say, I think I've discovered something. That there's a transpersonal process, a transcultural process in us. And I now have the courage to speak about it. And then right after that, he began publishing. You see, I think that's what the maternal is doing in this dream. Pali was to have that sort of maternal intellect, to assimilate all of these strange technical details in physics, his knowledge of Jungian psychology, his own personal suffering, and reform them and give birth to them in a way that could help both scientists and lay people, psychologists, work on this split between spirit and matter. So I would not necessarily see that as negative. And I also don't see it as negative that he chose black and white. The interpreter, the author, says that shows that basically he didn't pick color. What color do you want, black and white? But I think given that we've been seeing how important this periodic nature of time is for Pali, that was his way to feeling. And so he's starting at the right place. So I just felt he was a little hard there.
Well, it's kind of confusing. He says the black and white has to do with the rhythm which bridges the opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you want.
That's what you
and
want.
And then he goes on to say, but no, he needs color, but then he doesn't say why. Yeah. I mean, he says it bridges it, and that's the good thing. But he doesn't really critique why black and white, if it is a good bridge. I don't know, it's confusing.
Yeah, I don't think it's accurate. What I believe he was driving at was color generally means feeling.
Yeah, I get that. But then he says that black and white is the bridge. It symbolizes the bridge.
Yeah, so he's contradicting.
And then he
contradicting
criticizes
himself.
That.
Yeah, he's contradicting himself, I think. Yeah.
So would color be that third way?
Well, the color will come out of the being jostled by the two dimensions of time.
Well, so his statement that black and white is a rhythm, and that rhythm allows you to bridge the opposites, would you criticize that statement?
That makes sense. Did you follow that?
I don't understand rhythm. I mean the oscillation back and forth. Is that what that means?
Well, you know, if you don't mind me referring to a personal example again, let's go with my time in Switzerland where I decided to trust the I Ching. That was a different moment of time. See, why did somebody not stop and pick me up when I was hitchhiking? See what I mean? That what was happening at that time was of a different order than most days. That's the oscillation. Normally you put up your thumb, you wait 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, you get a ride. That day when the guy who was coming, who would offer me the job that would allow me to earn money to finish my training, I didn't get a ride. So the time was different. There's a time, there's that time, and then there's the regular time. The fact that I decided to trust the I Ching was my response to the dilemma, that I had to realize I have faith that a different moment of time can occur in which I am given what I need, because normally I'm not given what I need. Normally I have to go out and fight for it. But here it was just dropped in my lap. Another little detail of this, first getting a teacher, as I said, teachers in Switzerland are like God. So, you know, they have a list, normally they have a list this long of people who want these teaching positions. And Daryl gave me the person to speak to at this public school where I taught. And let's say I talked to him on the 30th of March, say. He gave me the job. I got the school catalog. My name was listed prior to that interview. He had given me the job before he'd even seen me. Think, as you know, life just doesn't work like that. It has never worked like that before or after, where everything I wanted was given. Can you see how there are different dimensions of time? And had I not seized that opportunity, I would have lost my beloved career. Now, if I don't go to a particular party and there's nobody there that's important, nothing is lost. But if I have a dream to go to a party because I'm supposed to meet somebody who will further a book or further this or further that, and I don't go, I've lost a very precious opportunity. So, does that help? But in certain moments, the world's rules act differently. And you've got to know what moments they are and not mess up.
And that's rhythm.
That's rhythm. Rhythm is like, you know, dun, 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 dun. Sacred profane, sacred profane, sacred profane.
So is this rhythm, is this his oscillations that he's
That's the
about?
Oscillations.
If you think about it too, don't colors have certain vibrational frequencies?
Definitely.
Yeah, white contains all the colors mm-hmm. too, so since he did pick a color, he picked them all, he doesn't pick white, mm-hmm. as well as black, which is the ashes.
I think what he is seeing here, or maybe projecting, is Pali was given to black and white reactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's saying, "Oh, look, that's one more instance where he couldn't handle the conflict. He was either with you or he was against you." And I think that's true about Pali, but I don't think that's what this dream is saying.
I just want to sort of a little aside about Van Erkelen's and just about interpretation in general. That it seems like a lot of his interpretations are projections of some of his own stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to really getting into what it means for Pali.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel that. Yeah. He was a physicist and he left physics.
So he goes on to say that color would allow him to integrate the rhythm. So black and white is the rhythm. And color or feeling would allow him to integrate it.
And I think I'd say that feeling will come out of being tossed through these two qualities of time.
That sounds more like the experience people have.
Yeah. I mean, just think how that experience increased my faith in life.
And look what you're giving up.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, that's why I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of largesse, that was the beginning of my experience of largesse. That's what it was like working with Von Franz. That's what it was like working with Meyer. Just these gold bricks dropped in my lap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And doesn't synchronicity and that all tie in together? Like when you say
that is synchronicity.
Okay.
That is synchronicity.
Yeah.
In other words, another way to put that, the alternating stripes are synchronicity. One of those stripes is normal time and space. The opposite colored stripe is a synchronistic moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's this idea that divination is seen, some people call it scenting, S-C-E-N-T-I-N-G, because it's as though, like, an animal doesn't split matter and spirit, an animal doesn't live fully in the world and sense needs to happen.
Yeah.
This idea that showing up on his nose is really a beautiful idea, that it showed up in the divining place.
Yeah.
But that's how we live in the divine way in the world.
Yeah. So now going, say, to Von Franz, which we're moving up to eventually, you know, here he is, he's bored in life, he's married, I don't think unhappily, but I don't think he's terribly excited about his marriage, and he meets her, the nose should have said, here it is, here's the answer to my dilemma. Now, in normal time and space, I would not do this, but this is not normal time and space anymore. This is an opportunity for the fulfillment of my life. And in this moment, there are different rules. And I have to accept the fact that the rules are changing, because this is not an ordinary experience. And that's where he got stuck. And I think that you can relate to, I don't know, I mean, to me that's my problem with both Judaism and Christianity. It's all about rules. And when God enters in, if you use that language, the rules change. And that's where he's stuck. But the unconscious is trying to get him to break through that stuckness. And what we've really got here is not an example of what's wrong with Pali, but it's an image of how the unconscious is trying to show him how he can go. Accept the stripes, accept the transformation of the stranger. Really, you know, compare your response to life with Wilhelm's. Look at a maternal intellect. Look what he went through. Look what he's given us. That's what you are to give us too, Pali. To be talking to himself that way.
Did he You know, I always thought that when an opportunity shows up and you don't take it, the unconscious comes back in even a stronger fashion.
Oh, it does.
So, and oftentimes though, that experience is an ailment in your body. Did he have indigestion?
No, he had cancer.
But prior to the cancer that ultimately got him, were there signs that came? I mean,
I don't think so.
He didn't.
He had vertigo. Mm-hmm. From time to time.
It seems there's always a physical component that shows up.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't pay attention to this, and it doesn't always go from nothing to cancer. It starts in smaller ways. I just wondered. At this point he suffers.
But I think with a guy like Powell, he was so strong in his will that he was really able to run roughshod over his body until it really let him have it. I think it's an extreme, or it's in two dreams from now. We'll see, just to anticipate. He has a dream that there's to be a rebirth on December 15th. That's the day he died.
There is another kind of a synchronistic kind of thing that happened to Polly, that there's a, you can take some physical quantities and multiply them with atoms, and you come up with 137.
That's the room he died in. That's the room he died in.
Yeah, and it turns out that without him knowing it, mm-hmm. that was the room mm-hmm. that he died in. Mm-hmm. And we, before that, he felt that number 137 has some deep.
What's the constant? What does that represent? Do you know?
It's the multiplication of two or three kind. I think one of them is the Heisenberg constant, and I forget exactly what they are.
So like pi for physicists,
yeah,
or something like
but
that.
But it doesn't have any units. Uh-huh. That's one of the key factors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just never understood it.
But he really thought there was something important about that 137, and he died in the room 137.
Yeah, we'll see that. Let's see. Well, he then cites von Franz talking about a dream of stripes. I don't know if I need to go through that. Look at the bottom of the page. The main idea is that what von Franz says about the dream of stripes, he's just trying to check with some other interpretation of that image. And she says, which in a way is what we've been saying, then falls on explanation of the motif of stripes, which illustrates a differentiated nuance of the feeling problem and its spiritual dynamism. Feeling, very bottom of 44. So the feeling problem will be with what Nancy says, that's the nose that can smell this is a different moment. Normally I don't talk to strangers in the tram. Today I will. Normally I don't go out on a Thursday night to a bar. This Thursday I will. That kind of knowing the rules are changed. And it's spiritual dynamism. The spiritual dynamism would be the synchronistic moment. So the ability to feel, recognize, and respond to the synchronistic moment. I don't know if you ever caught yourself not responding. I have. I mean, a silly example, which I know, why didn't you respond? I went with some friends, we went to Florida a couple of years ago, and there was a woman sitting next to me on the airplane. We had a chat. She was married, it wasn't like a flirting thing, just talking. And we went to, I think, Fort Lauderdale, and we drove way down to the Southern Keys. And the next two or three days, I walk on the beach. Who do you think I pass? I say, what are the chances of that? I wish I would have stopped and said, I know this is awkward, but don't you think it's strange we've met again? She probably would have thought I was hitting on her. Mm-hmm. Maybe she would have blown me off, but maybe not.
Yeah.
See, that's the synchronicity where my nose didn't react. So these things are not always so self-evident that you're given an opportunity and you seize it. So that's what I feel Franz is implying, and he's kind of saying, but kind of not saying, that the stripes and the nose is about. And the top of 45, what this is about is developing the gradation of feeling intensity values. That you know this moment is more important than another moment. And you respond. As you know, those of you who did Number and Time know, which I'm mentioning now because we're going to see it down the road, that mathematics often appears in dreams at this point, which you would think would mean, since it's about numbers, that it's about rationality and cognitive thinking. But the unconscious often uses numbers to symbolize qualities. Why? In Number and Time, we talked about the earliest use of numbers by so-called primitive people is that they are qualities. They are not quantities. There's a oneness of things. There's a two-ness of things. There's a three-ness of things. For us, they're abstract counting units, but for the pre-scientific mind, they are qualities. Remember the story of the battle in China? There, she tells a story in Number and Time that there was a battle, and the generals were trying to decide whether to retreat or attack. I forget exactly how it went, but they threw some coins to get a reading, and let's say they got the number, or maybe through dice or whatever, they got the number 7 to attack and the number 5 to retreat. And you would think with more they would have attacked, but they retreated because 5 was a more sacred number than 7. Huh. So it's that qualitative sense of numbers which we've lost, but which the unconscious still works with. And it's not so important here, but it will be in a couple of dreams, so I mentioned it. So we've talked about the stripes, the maternal intellect as I see it. What about the three sticks on the ground? What the blonde says to the stranger when he returns, we'll start calling him the stranger now, to the stranger when he returns, is that these sticks indicated your post-mortal effects. So this figure disappears into the river. The blonde sees the three sticks, and then the man returns from the river, and the blonde says to the man, you know, while you were gone, these sticks indicated your effects after death. It was a death before a rebirth, but while you were dead, these sticks showed us your effect.
Well, in the drawing, it had the triangle.
Yeah.
And so you said that that was the, you know, kind of the thing of the Trinity.
The lower Trinity.
Yeah, the lower Trinity. So that what he had to say was going to be very, very important. And
there's more to it.
Maybe make change.
Definitely. Still more to it. How is he going to be initiated into that? Yeah. Are y'all familiar with the lower Trinity? You know about the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Of course, Jung feels that's only half the story. That the nature of, true nature of the self, or a complete image of divinity, is a balance of light and dark. So that what we see in mythological systems, not infrequently, is three earthly, not heavenly, three earthly or subterranean divinities, which he takes as a counterpart to the earthly. And it's simply saying that the spirit works as much through matter as it does through air. So what that would equate to is the teleological importance of physiological experiences. Does that big phrase make sense? The teleological importance of physiological experiences, the goal-directed, the intelligence-giving, the educating, the teaching aspect of experiences that have to do with your body. The symbolic meaning of desire, the symbolic meaning of physical events like synchronicities, that the guidance doesn't only come above, it also comes below. So how is that the post-mortal effect of the stranger?
Change the world view and change the view of God and the sacred?
That's involved, for sure, but...
Not enough.
But, no, not enough.
Is this when he first starts to become attracted to Zantra?
I don't know if it is, but certainly his psyche is preparing it. Well, the stranger is the archetype behind synchronicity. And it's just showing the relationship between the symbolic dimension of physical experiences and the stranger. That what we often get, we don't meet the stranger, we meet the effects of the stranger, and the effects of the stranger are synchronicity. And that implies a whole dimension of reality behind him.
So by engaging the unknown, or the beloved, the woman that he is to fall in love with, it creates what Nancy was talking about the other day, kind of a chaos out of which.
Yeah. Yeah. So remember when I said that we can see that he's being prepared. I think this is where you can see he's being prepared. That there's going to be, he wouldn't have had this dream if there wasn't going to be a physical experience meant to guide him. So he doesn't come out and shout at us. But by implication, you'd say, well, why would you have such a dream? Well, okay, to educate him to the fact that the material world can be spiritual. Okay, so why does he need to know that? Well, because we all need to know that. But the unconscious just doesn't operate in generalities. It's preparing him for a specific existence, a specific experience that he's got to be able to conceive of correctly.
So, I'm going to get a little bit confused. There is the blind appearing as the black-white figure, waving the hand over the water, and then this figure comes out of the water. In that process, what is he doing? Showing another aspect of himself?
Well, the blonde would be the mental appreciation of what I just said. And the Persian would be the living in his own personal life, what that understanding is. And before, he probably could talk to you theoretically and say, oh yes, I agree. But then when faced with a real situation, he wouldn't live it. And this dream is showing that the talk and the walk, so to speak, are trying to be brought together, because the figure that comes out of the river is both light and dark, both the Persian and the blonde.
So it's indicating the transformation that is occurring.
Exactly. But because he's not in the dream, I would say it's not occurring, but it's being shown to him as something that can occur.
Would you say that the dream is trying to attitude him and prepare him to receive?
Yes. Absolutely. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the sticks, like to me, they're like the legs and then the body in your figure.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's John, like here's this human part that's not complete from here up, and a piece of this fit.
Well, it might, yeah, but there's no head to the stick.
It's about pulling in the higher trinity,
mm-hmm.
that part of human consciousness.
Yeah, I think you could say that, sure.
Okay. You mentioned that the term is symbolic meaning of desire.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak to that?
Well, that... let's say with him and von Franz, that the desire he felt for her was to make sure that the person he needed to help him with his work would be in his life. It was to cement her to his life so that they could work together. I mean, just imagine what number and time would have been like had he and von Franz worked on that together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And how he might have affected a whole generation of scientists. Dave was telling me that Dave was asked to speak... they had a Pauli conference, what was Pauli born? 1900. I guess they had a Pauli conference in 2000 at the ETH Zurich. The guy who wrote the book I told you about was invited to speak. And he went over there. I guess he was very well received. So it was a little intimidating speaking to like 100 Nobel Prize laureates in the audience. I mean, it was just the scientific... creme de la creme in this hall. He said they were very agreeable to him. But after that, he wrote to the rector, but it'd be like the dean or the president of the ETH, and asked him for a blurb to put on his book. Never responded.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose Pauli had published the book with von Franz. The dean might have then written a blurb for the book, because Pauli had the courage to publish on it, and that book would be read by a wider audience. This is how cultural change occurs, with individuals who take a stand, but he didn't. I mean, he never responded, I think.
It sounds like the dean's the only one that got it, because all these Nobel Prize people, you cannot tell me that, as creative as they are, that they haven't had these moments.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He felt that they were very very receptive,
yeah.
on a personal level.
Right.
But ask him to write a letter on the letterhead of their university, forget it. But have a beer with them, sure. This is great work, fine. Would you write me a letter? Oh, I don't think so. Because my prestige is at stake. That may be too hard. I think it's changing. But I was just trying to show how, if Pauli had himself taken a stand, in a small but probably important way, these ideas would have gained respectability and be discussed among a wider range of scientists. Because he was so highly respected. Okay, I think that's that dream. Questions?
Have you seen the new Freud Is Not Dead?
No.
Yeah, I need to bring it up. I need to look at it. It's the whole thing on Freudian therapy and how we're saturated with it now, but they show this a timeline of how his thought progressed, and there's Jung over here at the beginning, and it has a little blurb about the contributions that each of these people made, and his was that he showed type as introvert and extrovert.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I mean, I was stunned when I read that, but that was how they showed him. He has contributed to all this work now that is now absolute, that we're, you really need to read it.
Oh, wait till I'm having a bad day, so doesn't ruin a good one.
To me, though, it's agitating this energy, and it's very important. So
how so?
I really didn't, because I think this whole idea that, because what it went on to say was that science is now taking up these therapeutic ideas and beginning to show how there is a physical material component to experiences that people have in the therapeutic environment. Mm.
It's sort of a mixed.
It's another piece along the way. Mm-hmm. They just haven't jumped far enough ahead. It's just like they have to go through it to get to the next point. Mm-hmm. So we're just an agitating group that makes sure it happens.
That's agitated way.
But there he is on the front cover.
Well, and they do acknowledge him, Freud. They said while his contemporaries may have put him back.
Yeah, I gotta say, as a historical figure, I find Freud very exciting. But as theories, I don't care for as much. Okay, 47, we have just a little bit of time. Or do you want to just digest what we've talked about? What would you rather do, move on or digest?
Digest,
okay.
So then how do we leave it about the sticks? How do we sum that up for really well?
That there, again, remember the basic assumption of Jung, there is an inner guiding spirit. That is not explainable by any scientific means. It's simply his starting point. We know there is a guidance. Well, the church would say that's the Holy Spirit. Jung would say, I don't know what it is, but we do observe how dreams evolve when we understand them, and how they help our life evolve when we understand them. And that's an example of the spirit, this inner evolution. But images don't only occur in dreams, they also occur in the physical world. So the spirit is not limited to images, it's also to be found in reality. And that's the lower trinity. The guidance provided to us by the physical world, or our own physiology, not always, but a prime vehicle for that is sexual desire. Not only, but a lot of it is eros or hate. Same. Hate and eros are just two different sides of the same coin.
Did Jung use the Star of David to illustrate the upper trinity and the lower trinity? If I recall.
I think Pauli did.
Pauli?
Don't you remember he had that dream where he drew a Star of David?
Did he? I don't remember that.
It was a number in time. Or maybe it wasn't said that it was Pauli's dream, but it was. I don't think Jung ever specifically did, no. But I think Pauli was, because he was Jewish, he was half-Jewish, did. And I think we get there eventually.
So the sticks
You're stuck on the sticks.
They represent what then? The Lord Trinity.
Yeah.
Okay, the Lord Trinity.
It's a new idea, I realize.
So do you have names for this Lord Trinity? Like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
No. Well, it would be the three witches. Three fates, three witches. Three...
The different natures of the witches, using three types.
No, the Lord Trinity is often symbolized by three women.
But you wouldn't just have three of the same type, wouldn't you have three different natures?
Not necessarily, because...
Like the upper Trinity, yes.
Yeah. Okay. See, the idea is, remember, this is symbolic thinking, so right. it befuddles the linear mind. But the idea is that four is the whole, and that the self, personified in a patriarchal age, is personified as three masculine figures, but one is missing. And so that one is relegated to the earth because the Trinity is celestial. And it's one, it's the missing fourth, but at the same time, it's three. It's three in one.
One is needed to complete.
Yeah,
the whole.
Instead of three in one, it's one in three.
It's the opposite. The Trinity is three in one.
Right.
It's the opposite of that.
Right. So it's
one in three.
One in three. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah. See, that's why it's laying throughout life, is because he's vulnerable, and it's sexually vulnerable.
The
way the energy is going to come through,
mm-hmm.
and he has a choice how he's
going to
use it.
Mm-hmm. One of the developing, I don't know how far developing it is, but of dealing with this upper Trinity is to look at Mary as a part of that, mm-hmm. and then that becomes four.
Mm-hmm. But you see, she's old, she's light. She's light.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
You never hear Mary saying, fuck you.
She's pure.
She's pure.
Well, actually, you know, I read somewhere where it's theologically, she is thought to be from the earth.
Not
a creation. No, I'm talking about Mary. That's theologically. That's why she's not thought to be... I'm not saying this is all worked out, but she's not thought to be an angel.
That's the doctrine of the Assumption, which was proclaimed, what, 1950? 1950, where Mary was taken up bodily into heaven.
Yeah.
But still, Mary is not raging Hecate. There's a great difference. And that's what's missing, and that's what the Lower Trinity is composed of. Definitely, it's a step forward.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's...
And Jung, he just took immense joy in that fact, that Mary was recognized bodily in heaven, as indicating that the collective psyche is prepared to deal with the spirit and matter issue, as indicated by that...
And where I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was beautifully carefully put on the casket of the late Pope, is the cross and with the M right on the one of the
still Mary misses the dark thonic elements you find in the goddesses in the earth and Greek mythology.
Some thought today too that being proposed that the Holy Spirit is feminine.
Yeah. But again, the light feminine
again,
and this is the guidance coming through the dark feminine. Guidance is accepted. Where it appears, that's the issue. Where it appears is no longer in the air, but also in the earth. That's Jung's critique of what's missing from the Trinity. Does that make sense to everybody? It's really important. See, Pauli is going to get a guiding experience in his fascination with von Franz. That's the spirit. And we think the spirit comes to save you and lift you above sin and make you grand, but we forget that it comes in and puts you in the position of adultery and guilt and alienation and isolation, but it's just as much the spirit as the other. Okay, well, we'll start with 47 then next time.